The kingdom is near. Obey Jesus' command. This Sunday is supposed to be the beginning of Lent, the first Sunday of Lent. And if you are Anglican generally, you would normally see it maybe, or Roman Catholic, actually giving something up for Lent. I see this period as a period of discipleship, when we come prepare our hearts and our minds, especially as we journey to the cross, and as we think about our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So from this passage, I want to pick up, the kingdom is near, obey Jesus' command. So the first discovery we make from this story is that we must obey Jesus' command. Whether it's our individual lives as believers, as disciples, whether it's as our life together as his church here at Calvary, we must recognize his authority, his majesty. And it was something that these four men learnt that day by the Sea of Galilee. If you follow it in the Bible, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, said Jesus, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. As we look at the various gospel accounts, it's clear from the reading in Matthew's account that this was not the first time that these men met Jesus. If you remember in John chapter 1, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. But in fact, in Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus takes Peter and his friend out on the fishing trip, and they catch the biggest catch of fish of their whole lives. And this is more likely happened just before the Matthew account here in Matthew chapter 4. And notice what Matthew says. At once they left their nets and to follow him. They simply follow Jesus. And it must have been so costly, a costly decision. All the hard work, that experience they had as fishermen, and they left their nets and followed him. The simple spiritual principle here is Jesus comes first. At once they followed him. And I want you to also notice the same for the two other brothers in verse 21. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These two had the same reaction to the Lord Jesus. At once they left everything, including the father, and followed Jesus. See, Jesus urges us to think carefully and to consider the cost of following him. He is commanding us, as Lord of the universe, to follow him. And either we obey him or we don't. These are the two options that confront us. Jesus stands before you and me and commands us to follow him. He is asking simply this, the keys of our life, for him to take the rightful control. For he is our king. And whether we like to admit it or not, and to have our Lord as the loving and generous and powerful King of our lives, to know him, to experience him. So what does it mean to obey Jesus' command in practice? Well, notice that these four men had to submit to Jesus' authority in two areas. Firstly, they had to learn that nothing else comes before Jesus. You see, these fishermen dropped everything for Jesus. They simply left their nets. But the point is that Jesus comes first, before everything else. Following Jesus is that all-encompassing commitment. Well, following Jesus as Lord will work itself out in a different way, depending on our different situations. But Hudson Taylor makes a very important statement. He says this, Jesus must be Lord of all or not at all. Nothing else before Jesus. But there is another thing that these men need to learn and to discover about the authority of our Lord Jesus. And that there is no one else comes before Jesus. Because, do you notice three very powerful words in verse 22? Jesus called them. Jesus called them. And immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. It's so powerful. They left their father standing on the seashore. Nothing you can see comes before the way of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even the closest human ties we can know in this world. Jesus is to be Lord even over our families and our deepest relationships. Because there is no higher relationship than that with your God. And it means taking sometimes hard decisions because of our allegiance to Jesus Christ. He's simply saying, I come first, even before your nearest and dearest. Because when you bow the knee to Jesus Christ, you give him the key to every room in your life. To follow Jesus, we must obey his command to recognize he is Lord. Secondly, I want to pick up from the passage. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. Accept Jesus' challenge. Verse 19. Come, follow me. Jesus said. Challenging words, isn't it? If I can maybe just, I think, illustrate something from my own personal experience. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. Came from a non-Christian background. When I became a Christian, I was very shy, introverted, and I responded to the gospel. And I'm willing to give my life, and I think I was, you know, just happy to serve the Lord as someone just collecting the offering and actually being a door steward at the time. I don't think we use those terms now. And the words, come follow me. And in the last 30 years plus, even before I was a minister, before working with Youth for Christ, I've seen so many different places in the country. But the principle is that we recognise Jesus leading. We follow him. We accept his challenge. And his challenge will be different for different people. But it's recognising him as king of our lives. See, come and follow me means come behind me. And he calls us to follow him, to turn our back on our old life, to pay the price, to go wherever he leads you. And the challenge here is, and I will make you fishers of men. Just let me illustrate it. And a man was watching an old man trout fishing, pulling them out one after another. And he came up to this man and said, "You are so good at catching trout. I have passed two or three other people, and they seem so unsuccessful of catching fish." And the old man responded to this man and said, "There are three rules that you need to follow for trout fishing, and you need to keep them in mind. First, keep yourself out of sight. The second is to keep yourself further out of sight. And the third is keep yourself still out of sight. Then if you do it, you would be good at catching fish." See, Jesus challenges these disciples and he says, "I will make you fishers of men." Before we can become fishers of men, we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus. We need to be disciples. We need to be learners of the Lord Jesus. That's what discipleship actually means. Yes, God will use us for his kingdom, but we need to follow our Lord Jesus day by day. And throughout their working lives, these brothers would be catching fish. Now they are to catch men. So what did Jesus mean? Well, Peter and Andrew now had a great task to do. They were involved with Jesus in the wonderful mission of God. At the end of Matthew's gospel, we read about the Great Commission. And it says back to his disciples, "All authority is given to teach and baptize and to make disciples." And that is what we must be committed to in the power of God's Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. The church needs to engage in God's mission of sharing God's good news. This afternoon, what's going to happen at Massey Church? And I think my heart's desire is good that we see families coming, you know, from a church context, But really, we need also to see people, you know, on the fringe that haven't come yet to that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So please pray for Messy Church, the opportunity of sharing the good news of Jesus, to proclaim the message of Jesus so that all people will follow him. It's one of the ways we reflect our Heavenly Father's character, as if we have that passion and that desire to share the good news, what Jesus has done in our lives with those that we know, who maybe aren't Christians yet, but we long for them to come into that personal relationship with our Lord Jesus. And if we truly believe that the message that Jesus offers to us is life itself, then it's the most important thing in life. It's a message of eternal significance that we will be committed being God's fishers of men, or fishers of people, being his salt and his light, committed to the good news of our Lord Jesus. Accept Jesus' challenge. Thirdly and finally, the kingdom is near. Believe Jesus' promise. Because there is something else in this passage which reminds us that following the Lord Jesus is not just about following him in this world, that there is much more to come. And that is his healing ministry, which Matthew tells us about in verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among people. As we read in the Gospels, Jesus' priority was actually to preach about the kingdom of heaven, to preach about the kingdom. But time and time again, we read in the various gospel accounts that Jesus was moved with compassion. And I want you to notice the phrase went throughout, stresses that Jesus was deliberately taking the initiative and continuously going to the powerless in Galilee. It's a picture we get again, as we see in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, with the compassion of our Lord Jesus. It's important to remember that for every person, there will be a problem. Even more important, for every problem, our God has a prescription. And whether you've come this morning on the mountaintop experience, or whether you are in the valley, or whether you have questions and struggles in your heart, we come to a Lord Jesus who meets us at our point of need. A Lord Jesus whose grace is always sufficient. Let's pick up verse 24. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. We come to a Lord Jesus who understands, who knows everything about us, those things that we might be struggling with, but a Lord Jesus who wants to come and to meet us. Just let me illustrate it. Many of you would know the name John Stott. And in his book, Contemporary Christian, he tells a story about Danny Saunders, the son of a strict rabbi. For many years, Danny's father, though very human, never speaks to Danny except when teaching him out of the Talmud. One day, the mystery is revealed. Rabbi Saunders explains that God had blessed him with a brilliant son, a boy with a mind like a jewel. When Danny was only 4 years old, his father saw him reading a book, and I was frightened. The book actually described the suffering of a poor Jew, yet Danny enjoyed it. There was no so in my four-year-old Daniel. There was only a mind, said the rabbi. And the rabbi cried to God, "What have you done to me? A mind like this, I need for a son, a heart. I need for a son, a soul. I need for a son, compassion, righteousness, strength, to suffer and to carry pain." So Rabbi Saunders brought up the boy in silence. For then, in the silence between us, we began to hear the world crying. We come to our Lord Jesus, who is not only our Redeemer, our Saviour. He is the Lord that meets us. Matthew uses the word for healing here, which means to serve and to care. In Matthew chapter 8 and verses 16 to 17, he follows the description of Jesus' healing ministry with the words from Isaiah 53. "He took our infirmities, he carried our diseases." We have a Lord Jesus that reaches out to us. Yes, Jesus is committed to preaching about the kingdom of God, but he is concerned about those that are powerless, those that are struggling, to reach out and to bring healing and restoration and deliverance. To preach the kingdom of God was his first priority. That was his burden that he wanted to pass on to his disciples. But he was concerned for those that were struggling. We come to a Lord who heals, who restores, who sets free. And through the healing ministry of Jesus, God is giving us a taste of what is to come in heaven. He is showing us that the time has now come when sin and decay and death will no longer rule over us. And one day we will come a time when the old world, with all its sadness, all its pain, will pass away and be replaced by a new and perfect world order. With Jesus as King over his people, ruling in perfect peace and in perfect joy. And how is that achieved? And it's through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. He bore the judgment that we deserved. He died in our place. He conquered death. And he rose again to secure our future in God's perfect kingdom. So as Jesus confronts decay and sickness and even death in Galilee. This is a picture, what is to come, and the promise he will do what is necessary to give us that full experience of his kingdom. This is what our Lord Jesus is offering. This is his promise. He's saying, if you trust me, if you put your hand in mine, then this is a picture of what I can do for you, spiritually and ultimately physically in my new kingdom. I will heal and completely restore forever, I promise. And as we come this morning, we need to recognize that Jesus is the Lord and King, to submit to his authority. Yes, following the Lord Jesus will be costly. As we put Jesus first, as we engage in his ministry and mission, as dying to self and finding life itself in its fullness and joy, we come to a God who heals and to restore and to set us free, and that we have that tremendous hope, life eternal with him. Amen.